At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Lumos. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Shout Guys Radio. I am your host and secret keeper, Ezra, a.k.a. Bill, also known as Sir Ezra the Watchful, History of Magic Professor, the Flannel Wizard, obviously. Yours truly, me. Please welcome your lovely design witch to the fascination of this year, Triwizard Champion herself, and my wonderful co-host and yours, Lottie, a.k.a. Fleur.
Hello und einen wunderschönen guten Tag. It's so good to have you back in our beautiful little cottage on the outskirts of Tinworth. Kommt rein und macht's euch gemütlich. Welcome to episode 97, in which we discuss Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. This week, we'll talk about chapter 17, The Four Champions. We'll give you a quick life update with our homemade cottage ketchup, feed our brains with important trivia knowledge, and then dive head on into our chapter summary audio experience. Ooh, the chapter summary this time was a little bumpy, but I got there. I actually want to read a quote from the Chamber of Secrets to you, and I want your reaction to it.
Okay.
The quote goes like this. The end of the summer vacation came too quickly for Harry's liking.
Yes. 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 Das ist wahr. Yeah. This is so true because that's where we're at. Although I got to say, for the first time in my teaching career, which is now getting a little long. It's kind of crazy. Somebody asked me, like, how many years have you been teaching? I'm like, whoa. I'm starting to get to that point where I'm like, I don't know if I want to answer that question. Well, it used to be cool to answer that question. Now I'm like, I'm not so sure. I'm kind of in the middle there somewhere.
Oh, I'm like 5 years in. I got this.
Yeah, 5 year veteran, you know. And then this guy over here is like, I've been here for 13 years. Jesus. but yeah.
12 years of it.
12
and
years.
And ask him.
I mean, it's, I don't want to say that it's, although this year, I almost said that school's like a prison and I didn't want to go that far, but it was the Azkaban reference that you made. I think our kids might think this year that it kind of is. In the grand state of Ohio, there is a new cell phone policy, and
let me
tell you, it is jarring.
It is jarring and is joyful for teachers.
It's jarring, joyful jarringness. I couldn't believe it. I didn't know what the policy was going to be, and I was like, wow. It's actually good for everybody across the board, for the kids and everything, but it does feel a little bit sort of like, you know. I mean, we were having conversations. This is no joke. We were like, well, what do we do about the kids who have, like, you know, girls who have longer hair that covers their ears, and they have AirPods in?
All the time. In my class,
all the time.
I had two kids that they didn't know what I was saying.
Yeah, and so, like, if we get that, I don't know if you guys have, I mean, being in front of 30 kids and asking the question and directly asking that student, you know, if I said, Lottie, can you please read number 4?
Yeah.
And Lottie just continues to stare, whatever.
Yep.
And you're like, well, then you try to make a little eye contact. You move in there and you say, and they're like, huh? And then they don't, then, now normally, it, like last year, they would just pull the AirPod out.
Yeah.
This year, it's sort of like, they got to be undercover. Like,
right.
And they're like listening over top of the music that's raging in their ears, trying to understand what'd you say? And you're like, okay, so now we have to like look for that kind of stuff. It's crazy. But anyway, what I started to say there is that it has been an interesting start to the school year and the summer was good.
Yes.
That's what I wanted to say. All of that roundabout way to say the summer was actually really good. And for the first time in a number of years, I was not coaching football.
Mm-hmm.
I was not tutoring over the summer. And we didn't travel.
Right.
Really. So.
Which was refreshing.
Kind of refreshing. I think it's like we got a lot done. I got a lot of rest. I just sort of, we enjoyed our summer.
Yeah.
And I, you know, what's funny is I didn't even get as much done as maybe I could have, but I think that was sort of the whole point, because if you replace it with like, okay, you're going to grind and do X, Y, Z, I learned a lot. I did a lot of studying. I did a lot of like my own personal research, things I wanted to get into. And so now I feel really well set up, I think, for the school year.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. And it's funny because Harry would never say that, right? When he was at the Dursleys. He would never say, oh, the end of the summer vacation came too quickly for his liking.
Yeah.
Because he could not wait until the summer was over every year. But this year was different because the Weasleys rescued him from the Dursleys and he got to spend the summer at the Burrow. Yeah. And it felt like home to him. That's what Hogwarts is to him, was you know, his home. That's why he was longing for the next school year. But this time it was different because he had a home with the Weasleys. And I thought... Man, you know, that's so cool.
It probably similar. He probably felt similar to that here, I think, at the end, at the very end of the summer when he went to the Weasleys again here in this book that we're in right now. Right. So I think it's kind
so
of cool.
Sorry. I need to turn that off.
Oh, hello. Are you getting a phone call?
Oopsie.
Live on the show? Hi. Go ahead and answer that, please. If I were a teacher, right? That's what you do. Guys, cell phone policy. Yeah. What did we just talk about? Please hand that. Come on. All right. Mr. Kirk's going to answer it.
There you go.
And thank you. She's handing me her phone. All right. I'll speak to you later, young lady. But that is... So, yeah. Anyway, the summer is up, and we've had kind of a... Oh, the end of the summer is just a little bit crazy for me, because you're wrapping up. You're actually really... The summer kind of ends 2 weeks before school starts, because I do definitely start to kind of like prep and get ready and think about different things, go in, set up my room and whatnot. But it's here. We're in the school year now, folks. So we're gonna get back. I got through the first week. We're alive.
Yay.
And all's good. And we're gonna go. Actually, last night, what was it? I mean, here's some inside information. Sorry, this is just cottage ketchup. Okay, so I went back down to the school. We had like a little family get together with my family. And Lottie, as you guys have heard before, I think, have we mentioned this, that you're leaving to Germany in a little bit?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I can't remember if we did or not, because we've recorded some episodes for you guys when she's gone.
Yeah, no, I'm going to Germany in a few days. So.
Yeah, but so we wanted to see my family and stuff. And then afterwards, I decided to run up to my school and create workbooks. You guys, I had four copiers running. it's very hot in the copy. The air conditioning is off in the on the weekend. So humidity.
Right, it was Saturday. You got to tell people.
Saturday. And it was late. It was like 6 o'clock at night. And I stayed till like 8 or 9.
And no one was there.
No one was there. And I was jogging around the whole school, just like dun 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 dun.
Isn't that the dream
dun, dun,
of all kids to be in an empty school?
Just running. Yeah. And I was like, wow, this is kind of cool. I was running with stacks of like, you know, copies and papers and stuff. It looked ridiculous. And I really hope that my admin don't check the camera and like for the first professional day, they're like, hey, we do these things called like what are they called, like brave shout outs or something to teachers or people who did something, went above and beyond, and I'm like, oh my god, they're gonna show me up on the screen like running down the hallway
on a Saturday night,
you know, play some music. Cool. Oh gosh. Like Mr. Kirk went above and beyond. No, I just tried to get away from all my colleagues and get to the copier alone. It was very selfish, actually, of me. But anyway, we are, we're back into the school year. It's great, and we're excited. I'm excited for the fall, honestly.
Me too.
Being Harry Potter fans, we were like, can't wait.
Can't wait. September 1st, back to Hogwarts, and then everything fall themed.
Yeah.
I keep saying this since I moved here. It's so much fall, so much better here in the States because, you know, even though it's all about...
Spooky Halloween.
Yeah. Consumerism. I want to say it.
Oh, okay. Consumerism. Yeah, that's fine.
It's... Halloween, Christmas,
Valentine's Day,
whatever. But just the decorations and the fun around it and the games and the, you know, at school, like there's always something to look forward to. So I really appreciate that. And the good food. Sometimes you just got to have that pumpkin pie that we don't have in good old Germany.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we'll bring up, maybe we should, man, I mean, would that be odd to have it at Christmas, pumpkin pie?
No, we should make it.
We should make it, you know, and just give it to your mom and be like, here you go.
Late Thanksgiving.
Yeah, just a little pie. Pumpkin pie to kind of sneak in here.
Yeah.
It's exotic.
Yeah, I don't know if they would like it, actually. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's hard to believe, I think, for
we
us.
We don't do a lot of... I mean, we do pumpkin soup, but the rest, like... Hmm.
Germans don't like pumpkin?
No, they do, but they're they don't not really, so I've
never seen
crazy.
I've never seen a pumpkin in Germany. I've never been in the supermarket and seen a pumpkin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're there.
I would... Okay.
And people do the carving, but not a whole lot.
Okay.
Like... Okay. So, but for families, they will do it. Yeah.
One year, we're going to have to take a little, because I think for schools in Germany, don't they get out for like 2 weeks in the fall, in October or
yes,
something?
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe what we'll do 1 year is I'll take a couple personal days and we'll go out there and I'll show them how it's done.
Yeah.
Around October time, you know?
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, if you make it all the way to the end, we have an interesting voicemail from Rika, who said something really cool and culturally relevant about Halloween and the day after in some cultures. So,
dang.
And how it relates to Harry Potter. So we'll read that at the end after we're done with the chapter.
Sounds good.
After we're done
with the chapter, y'all.
It's good to be back in the cottage. Just saying.
Yeah, it's good to be back, guys. We missed you guys, and we love you. Okay.
All right. If there's no other, wait. I have a question for you.
Seriously?
You didn't bring a question?
Yeah, I have a question.
Okay. Okay, let's do some trivia. Okay, I'm going to start. Because we are, as we're recording this, I don't know when you guys are listening to this, but as we're recording, it is August. Mm-hmm. And my question is... Name one Harry Potter character, and there's multiple, but name one whose birthday is in August.
In August?
Yeah.
In August?
Yeah, and there is a couple, but...
What? It's not Neville. It's not Harry. It would be... It's not the Weasley twins. I know their birthday. Mm-hmm. It would... It's not... Man, is it... Hermione Granger.
Is that your answer?
Yeah. Please tell me.
Hermione's birthday is not in August.
What? Whose is?
So, you could have said Ginny. Her birthday is August 11.
Wow.
You could have said Celestina Moorbeck, whose birthday is today.
Wow.
Happy birthday, Celestina. August 18th. And tomorrow, it's going to be poor Pentina Esther Goldstein's birthday.
Aw, Tina. I love Tina
birthday.
So much.
So happy birthday, Tina, tomorrow. And August 22nd is Percy's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
August 26th, Dolores Umbridge.
Wow.
And then sometime in late August, for some reason it's never mentioned, the day is never mentioned.
Yeah.
But late August is Albus Dumbledore's birthday.
Interesting.
So there you go.
Okay. Wow.
But Hermione's birthday, I think, is in September, pretty early in the school year. But we'll find out. September 19th. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's her birthday. But yeah.
Gotcha.
There's your August birthdays.
All right. Well, since I kind of forgot that we were doing trivia, and you guys know I have never missed bringing a question to trivia, and you know that I don't like a lot of editing, so I just roll with it and make it up on the fly. My question. See how I did that? My question, it just comes to me when I do that kind of stuff, is...
It's like Trelawney.
According to this chapter... I went to the great beyond. I went to my inner eye is coming out. According to this chapter, who is the Hogwarts Triwizard Champion?
According to this chapter, who's the Hogwarts Triwizard Champion?
Yeah. Uh huh. There's a detail in the chapter. Well, this book, I should say.
Are you... So, well, do you want two names?
Yeah, I want you to answer the daggone question,
young lady. Well, Cedric Diggory is the freaking Hogwarts champion.
All right.
Because Harry... Sorry.
Harry's not. Okay, correct.
Okay, was that your...
Yeah, that's right. You got it right.
Okay.
If you would have said Cedric Diggory and Harry Potter, I'd be like, that's wrong.
Yeah, no, it's wrong. Sorry.
Sorry, he got picked for a different house.
Yeah.
He got...
You mean for a different school.
Different school, yeah, thank you. That came along.
Yeah, good.
I like to remind folks that of all the, like, when it came to let's pick the champion for Hogwarts, it chose Cedric Diggory.
Diggory, Diggory,
not
Diggory.
Harry Potter.
Yep.
So I think it's wrong sometimes to say that Hogwarts didn't technically win. Really?
No.
It was some, you know.
Another random school.
This whole tourney is a fraud. Yeah. The whole thing is a complete setup fraud. And I don't even know that Harry should have been given that money at all.
True.
So, yeah.
Well, we're going to talk about the binding contract and the Goblet of Fire in the chapter discussion.
Good. I just wanted to get a setup for it.
Okay.
I thought this through, and I prepared for this episode.
No, I like that question.
With that question.
Yeah, you did.
All right.
You did well. Okay, give me a color for the second trivia question. You have to roll it.
Blau.
Okay. You didn't roll it, though.
But I said it in German, so...
Who tells Ron and Harry that Hagrid did not open the Chamber of Secrets?
Who tells Ron and Harry that Hagrid did not open the Chamber of Secrets? Who tells them that? Wow. It was... Who is it? Why are you laughing? You devilish little girl.
You wanted blue.
Yeah, I wanted blue. And the answer is, what is it? I'm going to go through some hypotheticals here. Is it Tom Riddle? Is it Gilderoy? Lockhart? Is it, who says that Hagrid didn't open it?
Okay, let's go back to the events.
Well, what kind of question is this? Is this a book or film?
Let me read it to you again.
This is film. This is film based.
Yeah, it's film based, but I think it's the same in the book. But it is kind of tricky because, okay, you got to listen. It says, who tells Harry and Ron?
And Ron.
That Hagrid didn't open the Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah, man. Hagrid. Hagrid told him. It wasn't me. Okay. I mean, is it?
Shouldn't have said that.
It was Gilderoy.
Is that your final answer?
Who is it?
Aragog.
Chimney. Son of a gun. Forgot about that stupid spider.
There's a spider in there.
Chimney. Oh, gosh.
But when I read the question, I was like, Tom Riddle, right? But no, he didn't tell Harry.
He wanted
him to believe that Hagrid was the culprit. And Ron wasn't there either. So, yeah, it was Aragog.
I like to block that part of the book out of my mind.
I get it. I don't blame you.
Good gravy.
So, yeah, that's the question.
All right. Pick a question over there because you got the whole thing. Okay, well, just give it to me then. Fine. I see how you are.
I've got the sun yellow. The egg of the yellow.
All right, so here we go. Who is the only one of the three brothers from the Tales of the Three Brothers to voluntarily present himself to death during old age?
It's the younger brother, but do I have to know his name?
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. That is a hard question. We have Ignatius.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only name I remember. It's the youngest brother.
Do your whole thing where you go through like the, okay, you know how you like try to, you go back to your mind palace and you're like, okay, A,
B, C,
you know,
Ignatius, Ignotus, Ignatius.
So yeah, you actually said Ignatius, but it's actually,
wait.
Whoa. I'm just trying to help you with, you're close. It's not Ignatius.
That's I think he's either the older or the middle brother. But it's the younger brother who has the invisibility cloak, and his name is Peverell.
You got half a point. You got half a point right now, but you got to get that full name.
Yeah, okay.
So
Wait. Give me the first letter.
First letter is I. First letter is I. Older brother's first letter is A. The second brother is C. And the third brother would be I.
Ignotus.
Yeah, Ignotus. You got
it. Is somebody's name Ignatius, though?
I don't know.
Is anyone's name Ignatius in Harry Potter?
This is Tenacious Ignatius.
Why did I have that name on my mind?
Bobacious.
Ignatius Pruitt.
What?
There is an Ignatius. It's
Don't sit over there and act like you knew that there was...
Uncle by blood of Fabian and Gideon.
Get out of here. Lottie likes to pretend like she knows everything.
Okay,
in this
Ignotus... Peverell. Gotcha.
Gotcha.
Okay, I'll Yeah, I think I do deserve half a point for that.
No, you know, honestly, on the back of the card, it just said the card doesn't even know. It just said the third youngest. I'm sorry. I was just trying to be extra.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm trying to make sure we get through and you know, we remind folks about these very important historical names.
So we get a full point?
Yeah, you get a full point.
That means Floor got 19 and Bill has 17.
That's fine. I'm down for a comeback story, okay?
Okay.
First, the oldest brother, I think, is Antioch Peverell, and then you had Cadmus Peverell, and then Ignotus.
Are they mentioned in the story when he reads them?
Can I tell you something?
What?
I do. I don't know if you know this. I've done about 400 shorts, which are just mini little shorts, these little informational drops. And all I do is read these names and come across all these different things. So, yes, I knew the names. Did I Google them right when I was searching the reading question? Yes, I did. Okay.
Okay. That was fun.
All right, friends. Well, with that out of the way, we are on to the main event. The main chapter, Chapter 17, The Four Champions. The Great Hall is plunged into a sudden silence as Harry's name is unexpectedly chosen by the Goblet of Fire as fourth champion. But then everyone suddenly burst into murmurs and whispers. After holding a quick council with Professor McGonagall, Dumbledore directs Harry to join the other champions in the back room immediately. Crumb, Cedric, and Fleur are confused at Harry's arrival and think he is there to deliver a message. Harry is still in shock and doesn't know what to say. At that moment, Ludo Bagman comes in. He seems rather delighted about the turn of events and announces to the other three that Harry's name was just chosen by the Goblet of Fire to compete as a fourth champion. Fleur thinks Ludo is joking, but the rest of the judges, as well as Snape and McGonagall, enter the room and confirm that Harry was indeed selected by the Goblet and to discuss what to do next. Madame Maxime and Karkaroff are outraged, suspecting foul play on Hogwarts' part. They accuse Dumbledore of tampering with the age line to allow two champions from Hogwarts. Professor McGonagall dismisses these accusations as nonsense in defense of her headmaster. Harry, after being asked calmly by Dumbledore, assures them that he did not enter his name nor did he ask any other student to do so. However, Mr. Crouch insists on adhering to the rules. By entering their names, the champions entered a binding contract with the Goblet of Fire, and each student whose name is selected must compete, therefore leaving Harry no choice but to participate. While the protests from Madame Maxime and Karkaroff continue, Professor Moody joins the group and suggests a more sinister motive, speculating that someone might be trying to kill Harry. He further theorizes that it must have been someone very powerful who tricked the Goblet into thinking that Harry's name was entered as a contestant for a fourth competing school. Karkaroff dismisses this as paranoia. As no one seems to have a better solution, though, Harry is accepted as a champion, and Mr. Crouch concludes the argument by announcing that the first task will take place on November 24th. It will be a test of courage in the face of the unknown, meaning that they won't be told what kind of challenge awaits them. The staff is strictly forbidden to help in any way. Furthermore, the champions will be exempt from the end-of-the-year exams. To round things up and to calm everyone down, Dumbledore invites the adults, including Bagman and Crouch, to stay for a drink. Ludo gladly accepts, but Mr. Crouch insists that he has to get back to the ministry where he is needed most. Something seems off with Barty Crouch, and Harry notices that he looks rather ill in the face. Both Karkaroff and Madame Maxime also refuse to stay, and they take their champions outside to their vessels. Harry and Cedric leave the room as well, and together they walk back towards the stairs. Cedric wants to know how Harry managed to enter his name without getting caught. Harry is perplexed and repeats again that he didn't put his name in. But Cedric is not convinced. He politely says goodnight and walks downstairs. Harry feels depressed and fearful, as no one seems to believe his innocence. And who did enter his name into the tournament? Someone who wants him dead. And then it dawns on Harry, could Voldemort have something to do with this? When he reaches the Gryffindor common room, the other students are still awake and ready to celebrate. They congratulate him on his daring and wit, having tricked the Goblet of Fire and chosen as a champion. Desperate for some sanity, Harry seeks out Ron and Hermione, but they're nowhere to be found in the common room. So Harry goes upstairs to the dormitory, where he finds Ron lying in bed. But he greets Harry with a strange undertone. It turns out he also accuses Harry of cheating the age line and worse, intentionally excluding him, Ron, his best friend. He mocks Harry by suggesting that he should go to bed to be ready for his photo shoot the next morning. Harry feels utterly betrayed by this comment. Not even his best friends trust him anymore. Nobody wants to get a drink with Dumbledore.
Isn't that crazy?
So sad. He's like, come on. This is a time to celebrate. Right?
Kind of. Dumbledore's nerve to invite everybody for a drink. But, you know, as we know, Maxim and Karkaroff are super angry. They leave. So I was wondering, was it then just, you know, Minerva, Dumbledore, Snape, and Ludo drinking? And
yeah, maybe.
Another question. So yes. That sounds like what would they talk about?
Interesting conversation.
Interesting mm-hmm. conversation. Another question. Does Snape drink? Do you think Severus Snape drinks alcohol as the potions
I would say probably not. I would say probably not.
Why not?
Because I bet it takes him to a dark place.
Ooh. Okay, I had the same answer, but a different reason.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
That is a good point, too.
It just depends. Some people don't do very well with it, and if your focus is negative and angsty and angry, like they kind of say, like whatever your undertones or your personality or whatever is kind of simmering underneath will come to the surface and be, you know, yeah.
Exactly. So. And I would say he cannot afford that being a double agent.
No.
He can't afford, you know, when sometimes you spill things all of a sudden under the influence.
Yeah.
But
guys, I mean, for me, for example, I have two sips of cough syrup and I am the happiest guy bouncing around, like trying to just, you know, it's
you're
bad.
A Hufflepuff.
It's bad. Lottie locks herself in a room and it's just like, stay away. You are too much. You are too much. But yeah, it just depends on who you are. I doubt that he does. Seems like mm-hmm. Dumbledore, though. Just depends, you know? Yeah. I mean, he's much more mature, older, and wants to have a good time. He's trying to celebrate this sort of like, we got our champions.
Right.
It's the total opposite of what we see in the movie, which is amazing. Amazing, actually. And while I have to say, there is a weird thing going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, I'm going to break form a little bit.
Yes, please.
In this chapter, we have the famous sort of like Dumbledore moment.
Yeah.
Right? I earlier was doing a poll, and I was like, you know, basically, who is your favorite professor? And at the moment that I was creating that, you were highlighting, I think, Madame Maxine saying Dumbledore.
Oh, yeah.
Highlighting it, and I said it out loud the exact moment that you highlighted
it. That was so crazy. Yeah, I was highlighting a quote, actually, I'm going to read to you later from the book, and you said the same thing I was highlighting. That was so
at the exact same time. Now, crazy. Get this. Just moments ago, as I said that, my notifications from Google Chrome, we posted on that poll, and people voted, and there's like three people who voted, and they all said Dumbledore.
Wait, did you spell it like that?
No, I did not. Oh. I didn't even put his name. I just said Dumbledore. But they correct, like in the comments, they commented, they voted, and they commented.
No way.
Yes, I am not making it up to you. I'm not making it up. You can go check it. And it literally happened right as we were doing this. I looked up and I was like, oh, cool notification. I'm just, you know, looking at my computer screen as you're talking and stuff. And I was like, Dumbledore, what? We just said this. Someone listening to me and it's on the poll. They're all commenting and voting on the poll.
That's spooky. Because
we just posted it right before we started recording. I know. Crazy. Anyway, I mean, it's not that big of a stretch, but like, I just like to kind of point out some of these things.
That's crazy. Because, I mean, I've never, before reading this chapter, I knew that Madame Maxime said it funny, but I never really thought about her saying Dumbledore all the time.
So great. The audiobook does such a great job with it.
I know.
Yeah. All right. So now on to some official notes. Do you want me to cover the notes that you wrote, or do you want me to just sort of sit back here and take it in stride?
Take it in stride. Yeah, we'll mix it up. So it's the last couple of times you were actually in charge of the notes, and you did a fantastic job.
Thank you.
And I thought we'd mix it up again, and I'll just lead on some of the notes, but I want you to chime in. I'm counting on you.
I got
chime in later, because I just realized I have a lot of thoughts actually about Cedric, but I forgot to write them down. So you gotta chime in with your Hufflepuff.
Oh, I got you on Diggory.
Like.
I got you.
You know, what happened in the common room there and stuff like that. Okay. So my first thought was when reading the beginning of the chapter and even the end, like it connects to the end, when Harry said right when his name was pulled, I didn't put my name in. You know I didn't. Like he says that to his best friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
To Ron and Hermione.
Yep.
I really don't understand They know him. How they cannot believe him in this moment. Even Hermione, I think, seems to struggle here. Just a little bit.
Yep.
Either, and I have a theory, either she struggles with believing Harry or doubting Harry. Did he really do it?
Mm-hmm.
Or it's like the, you know, sixth year potions class moment where she gets like jealous almost.
Jealous?
How did he do it? Is he smarter than me?
Oh, yeah, it could be. It could be that.
Her mind is racing. She doesn't know what to think in that moment, but I think it's not as bad as Ron, obviously, later. We'll learn about that.
Yeah. So can I just mention here,
please,
what I think, yeah, it's cool that he says he's, you know, I didn't do it. Flat out. You guys know I didn't do it. And they don't affirm that, like, yeah, what's going on? They don't do what they typically do in the first three books, which is like, oh, no, something bad is happening. They they all seem to typically, they get into this, I don't know, this state of almost like one mind. They seem to all kind of click and work together. And, you know, obviously Hermione is filling in all the blanks for Ron and Harry most of the time. But they all seem to be, when Harry would come to a conclusion about Snape or who the bad guy is or what's happening at Hogwarts, they seem to be united on this. And this is the first time where we kind of see that they're going to split.
Right.
And they won't be all... It's the moment. The moment is pretty big. It's the Triwizard you know, tournament. And I guess they think that maybe Harry... Part of me thinks that they probably know their friend very well. And he does want a little bit of... He wants a chance to prove himself on his own... skills with his own merit, right? It's like it's part of, you know, being a good Quidditch player. It's like, it's not just his name, Harry Potter, and he's the boy who lived and all that kind of stuff, and but he wants a chance to really show people maybe what he is capable of, and that but that's actually not what Harry wanted or did.
And
they should know that but for some reason doubt is sort of creeping in,
right?
And they're not sure.
But I think it is important in the end. It does strengthen their bond, and it's important for the upcoming fifth book, where Harry has to, he struggles with the rest of the world. I mean, not just the school who thinks, oh, Harry cheated on the Goblet of Fire, right? Mm-hmm. But it's the rest of the world who thinks he lies, Dumbledore lies, about the return of the Dark Lord.
Yeah.
And where, you know, Ron's support is so big. Like, I remember the scene when he yells at Seamus, I think it's Seamus, right?
Yeah.
Whose
barking
mother
mad.
Is, right. I think so. It's very important that they kind of go through this right here to strengthen that bond that they need for the upcoming books and the upcoming.
Yeah. You kind of need a moment where basically the friends will doubt him. And as you look at their growth and making them dynamic characters, this is a good moment to do it. You know, it's understandable why Ron and Hermione would be like, well, maybe Harry did want to put his name in there. Everybody got carried away with the idea of getting into it. Even Ron was like super like, oh my God, there's got to be a way. And his brothers are trying to do it. And, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yep. And Harry, again, he's in shock. And to him, it's like, you know, when it feels like in your stomach, someone put an ice bucket of water or emptied it in your stomach, right? Like that feeling of, no, this can't be true. And you don't really know what to do. And for some reason, I love this description because to me, it feels so real when... First, Harry doesn't react at all. And then, you know, Professor McGonagall walks up to Dumbledore real quick. And probably she says something like, okay, you know, we got to do something here. You go in with Harry Potter and I'll handle the kids here or something.
Yeah.
What do you think it's something different, she said?
Well, yeah, I do. And I think, what is her name? She does all the Professor McGonagall impersonations. Shan Wills.
Wills.
Yeah. I would love to see and hear what she would think about this moment where she like whispers in Dumbledore's ear, because to me it's basically like she walks up to Dumbledore and she's like, you fool, you know better than to read a name, like you should have just put that in your pocket and, you know, what
scolding
are you doing? You know, Dumbledore, stop it. this is out of hand. I mean, because he could have just, it comes up, it falls down, everyone's like, huh? And he's like, oh, and it's some sort of message. They've never seen this before.
Right.
It's like, oh, the goblet thanks you for all of your attention during this ceremony. Have a good night, everybody. And he doesn't read the name, you know?
The problem is, though, as we learn in this chapter, there's such a binding contract that you could not have. Like, Harry would be apparently at risk for something that we don't know about.
Yeah.
That we're going to talk about in a second, though. Okay. That he has to compete. So
has to.
I think Dumbledore doesn't have a choice. I think Dumbledore was startled in that moment himself and couldn't believe it. And yeah. But whatever McGonagall said there, it set things in motion. And Dumbledore says, "Well, through the door, Harry," said Dumbledore. And this is the part that I think is so cool in the description. He wasn't smiling. Mm. Harry moved off along the teacher's table. Hagrid was seated right at the end. He did not wink at Harry or wave or give any of his usual signs of greeting.
Mm-hmm.
And this to me hit home because, you know, I guess I didn't get in trouble a whole lot as a kid. I was such a nice rule-abiding kid. I was scared of, you know, doing anything that I wasn't supposed to do.
Yes.
But if I accidentally did something that was wrong or not right, or, you know, as a kid, some things, now you look back and you're like, okay, they're not that bad at all. They're not. But as a kid, everything is dramatic and,
oh yeah,
you know, seems like the end of the world.
Right.
So whenever something like that happened, like really, really big and impactful, where you feel bad about what you just did,
mm-hmm.
There's almost this moment where you have wishful, longing thoughts to normal thing, anything, any sign that this bad thing didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like the normality of Hagrid just sitting there smiling, or Dumbledore smiling at Harry, or Hagrid mm-hmm. greeting him, mm-hmm. waving to him, like the normal signs of, mm-hmm. you know, everything's fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the contrast here is no one smiles.
Nope.
It's all...
It's not fine.
Harry, this is not cool.
It's bad. Yeah.
And Harry's scenario, he isn't even... Like, he didn't even do anything. Like, that's even worse, right?
Yeah. Can I give you an example? Which mm-hmm. would be like... I've seen these sort of TikToks where there's a dad walking with his child in his arms, and he pretends to like hit the door with his elbow.
Yeah.
And then as soon as he does that, he turns to the baby that he's holding, his son.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? Are you okay?"
Yeah.
And so that reaction causes the baby to cry, although nothing happened, right?
Oh, so with his elbow.
Yeah, he just nicked the door and made that sound, and the baby reacts to what the father is saying. So similar to this is that when a baby does fall or hit their head or something, when you don't react to it and you present those signs of normality, everything's normal and everything's good, they're
sends
fine.
Sends a different message.
Sends a different message and they're good. But the message here is, this is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Then no one can even hide it.
Yeah.
They're all like, oh God. And McGonagall running up having like, you called it the quick council, which is sort of like, holy smokes, Dumbledore. You did not. That name did not just come out of that. Like, we literally put this line in place for Harry. That was one of the reasons we did that.
Right.
You know that, right?
Right.
My gosh.
It's crazy.
We need him. He's the chosen one. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And Dumbledore's like, we'll see how it goes. Yeah. We'll see how it goes.
Once done is done, you know.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine, though, what do you think some of the other conversations were around the table? Like, with Draco. What do you think, Draco? I mean, we'll find out later that he'll have some things. But in that moment, I guarantee he was just ticked. I mean, they all had to be just so upset. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
What a cheat. He is everything we thought he was. Just a little cheat.
Honestly, real quick, do you think Draco would have wanted to enter? Is that something he would want?
I think he would have talked about it loud and proud and said that he was going to enter his name and I got this, blah, blah, blah. No.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I don't think he wants to, like...
Yeah.
He knows he's pretty good student, smart, and
has,
like, talent. But I don't think he wants to risk his life in tasks like that.
It makes you think of, like, it's this... it's kind of like any sort of performance in front of a whole school or where you're competing, like Quidditch is already enough. You still have the team aspect of it, and you can still blame other people.
Right.
I hate to put it like this, but I've seen people who they really don't like that one-on-one competition where it's just them versus somebody else because it can be glaring.
Yeah.
Your flaws and shortcomings and all that kind of stuff. And I think it takes a different, you know, type of person to get into that.
For sure.
You know, so I don't think he's somebody
like Cedric.
Like my boy, Cedric. Also, Angelina Johnson, too. I really actually, it's, I don't even, sad thinking about her being there. It's sad all around, but
yeah.
She would have been a great champion.
Yep, I think so too. Would have been fun.
Yeah, and she like comes up and encourages Harry.
Yeah.
She's always, you know, just...
Right? She's not even like... Like, jealous.
Go show Cedric what's up. Like, they don't understand what happened or they don't get it. They, like, somehow they're just sort of like, we got to support our guy. Gryffindor's in, man.
At least,
like,
yeah, one Gryffindor made it.
And they're already pretty proud that they have the chosen one. And
right.
So.
And the Quidditch player he is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, he represents their house well, so.
Yeah. All right, so Harry finally walks through the door, and you told me to write this down, okay?
Yes.
This was just a reaction yesterday. We listened to the chapter, we took some notes, and somehow from it came out of me when Fleur, her reaction is different in the book. She's like, okay, you know, is there a message? Do we have to come back to the, like, do they want us back in the hall?
She's
or
confused. What are you doing here?
What she's actually saying is, when Harry comes in, what is it, peasant?
Yeah, it's just essentially, yeah, like, what are you doing here?
Looking down at him. Because to her, clearly, he's not a champion.
She's like a queen who is literally, like, up there, like, what?
Yeah.
You know, so
and she
weird.
Puts it in more polite words, but what she's actually thinking is, what do you want?
That was funny. Lottie kind of said that in the car, and I was like, that's, you know, hilarious. I just sort of, like, spit up my drink. I was like, oh, my God.
I think, though, like, from the perspective of all three champions, I feel like, honestly, for Cedric, it's almost the worst. Because he is the Hogwarts champion, like you said, and all of a sudden there's a second, and it's like, okay, this was my moment. But yet, his reaction, in contrast to the other two, is rather neutral.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
You guys, let me... This is one of the best written characters of all time. Cedric Diggory is the heart and soul of, like, of this book.
Yeah.
Like, he is everything. He is what Hogwarts should be. It is just... And it comes out of nowhere from Hufflepuff.
Right.
It is just wild. It is why that house is now got the popularity that it has. And it's just...
Yep.
It's great. Because he reacts the way that you should.
Yeah.
He reacts the way that a true champion should. He tries to stay very neutral. He's still young. They're still, you know, competing teenagers and stuff, right? But... and even he's very polite later on when he asks Harry, like, how'd you do it?
Right.
And he very politely, okay, and just sort of walks away. Now, again, Cedric wasn't directly in charge of the whole badge creation stuff, but he didn't necessarily condone it right away. But yeah, this is tough for him because he's the champion.
Yeah.
And now this person that he's heard about, like the chosen one, is now, okay, cool. Now, it just sucks.
Yeah, it does.
Really sucks for him. It's sort of like...
You think he does want to represent House Hufflepuff well. They never really get that... in Quidditch, they never really get it in the house competition over the year. Mm-hmm. So here is his moment to shine for his house. Not necessarily like all about being himself, but like representing his peeps, right?
Yeah.
And
I'm kind of glad that I think Slytherin and Hufflepuff and Ravenclaw kind of united around Cedric.
Yeah.
I think it's actually awesome.
Yeah.
Because like
at Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Nah, this is the true champion.
Yeah.
Sorry, Harry. It ain't your fault.
Yeah.
But at the same, you know, point, we gotta support our guy. And this is Harry can say, well, you know, this is also not my fault. True. That's true. Mm-hmm. Right? We get you, mate. But at the same time, it's tragic for Cedric.
It is in so many ways. It is. And I know that Moody comes in, or Crudy, later on and kind of says, well, look, people, as actually worst for Harry, and he doesn't say anything, but I thought the same thing about Cedric. Mm-hmm. He doesn't say anything. No one rallies behind him, right? How Fleur and Crumb have their headmasters behind them, standing up for them. Like, we can't, like, this
Professor
is not
Sprout's
fair.
Not even in the room.
Right?
She's not even in the room.
Right. Yeah. Dang. Dumbledore doesn't really say anything because, you know, Harry's this guy.
Harry's this guy. See, the McGee, we got him. Yeah. I don't know who did it, but binding contract. He's in. He's right. in. You yeah. know, she was probably the one pushing more for that age line than anybody else.
Probably.
And Dumbledore was like, Harry, we got to train him up. You know, like, he's got to be ready at someday.
I mean, from an outside perspective, I wrote down generally, it does look extremely suspicious. You know, from the outsider perspective, that Hogwarts is the hosting school. Dumbledore is the one who installed the Inch Line. And oops, there is another champion for Hogwarts.
Yeah, it just...
it's kind of... it looks bad.
It's bad. This is probably one of the... I know it's... I don't know. Yeah, I think they should... you have a point here later where it's like they should have gone over more about the magic and the binding nature of this.
Yeah.
Because... it would have, they just say the contract's binding.
Right.
But if we knew that it caught, like, if you could say, like, look, the boy will die if he doesn't compete.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, let's talk about that.
Then it's like, we have to be in it because then the other judges would be like, okay, yeah, we obviously don't want Harry to be killed.
Right.
We don't know how this happened. And let's explain to the school that, like, the dire situation here.
Exactly.
This is no joking matter. And actually, we need to make sure that Harry's okay through this tournament.
Like you said, it is never, nowhere in canon ever mentioned what would happen if they don't compete. Mm-hmm. Like a champion doesn't compete. Not just Harry, but also if Crumb all of a sudden would say, nah, I don't want to. This is dumb. I don't want to be part of this. What happens? We don't know. We just know that it's a binding contract and they have to compete. They said it over and over again, but we never learn about any consequences if you don't. And I think, unfortunately, that is, to me, kind of a really weak point in the whole Goblet of Fire plot.
Yeah.
Like, to explain why they could not, there's no way to prevent this, and that Harry had to compete, and the whole thing with the... like, he had to make it to the end of the task. And, there's so many question marks here.
Like, an interesting way, and an alternate kind of version of this story would be, okay, Harry has to compete because his life is on the line here, right?
This is right.
You have to step onto the battlefield. You have to try in each of the three tasks. And so then you tell Harry, like, look, you have to just start the task. You can forfeit right away. Fleur forfeits at one point and does not complete a task. And so she steps away, right?
Right.
So you have to start it, and then it would be interesting if they told Harry this, and they said, look, just go out there, mate, start the thing, and then forfeit it, and we'll just kind of move you through these to make sure that we're keeping the contract with the Goblet of Fire. And then, as they say that, leading into task one, Harry's like, no, I'm going to go ahead and actually just give it a go. And he starts to kind of say, he just tells Dumbledore, like, I'm going to try. I'm not going to sit there and be... like, just take a forfeit, and and then all of a sudden there's this extra, like, he wanted to be involved in it. He tried to, I don't know, this is another way you could have done it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, with binding magic can seemingly tell if you have an intention. Like, for example, with the curses, the unforgivable curses, you have to have the intention. You have to want to hurt somebody, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like the goblet would know if your intention was to start it, but, you know, give up in the middle of it. Like, I don't think Fleur ever had the intention to do so. She really tried her best and
You're probably
failed.
Right.
And I also, you know, thinking about this, I read some comments on Stack Exchange. And basically, most of them said, with what we know about other magical binding contracts like the Unbreakable Vow, we know what happens. You actually die if you break that vow, right?
Right.
And here's the thing. There is no logical explanation. Like, not both ways, it doesn't make sense. What they say here is that they are willing to risk Harry's life to, you know, in the tournament and that he competes. They only can come to the conclusion that the effect of breaking the magical contract is indeed death or some lasting injury, mental or physical. Nothing else seems to make sense given the evidence. And with those risks in mind, I can see the teachers not wanting to inform Harry of these risks in order to avoid distressing him any further than necessary. However, if that is the case, the whole tournament is so questionable and just not... I mean, are you telling me they all knowingly have teenagers who don't ever... have not made big decisions in their life yet, really, most of them. Mm-hmm. Who are, you know, one thing... they love a certain type of music today and hate it the next day. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what, you know, you go through as a teenager. And those kids, they let them compete in a, you know, enter a binding contract that if they feel like entering today, but not tomorrow, and they want to exit, that they would die. And they do not even tell the kids that this is at stake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, either... the consequence is not as dire, but then why risk Harry's life if it's not that bad?
I think Dumbledore does say when he introduces it, though, that you have to compete. Once your name is in the goblet, beware.
Right. You
know, he does give them a little bit of a beware kind of thing. That's why they put the age line in there and make sure that you're really...
Right, but you also know that half of the kids are not even listening in that moment. Like, they already dream about being in the tournament.
It's consequences. Okay?
I mean, there's
Gotta pay attention.
There's just no good way of... explaining this to me, at least. What do you think?
Yeah, no, all it needed to be said was that, like, yeah, if you put your name in, like, just is one line.
Yeah.
All it needs to be is, as Dumbledore says before everyone puts their names in, if you put your name in and you're chosen and you try to step out, you'll be dead. That's it.
That's crazy, though.
That's all she had to write in there, and then we're like, oh, crap. Okay.
But then everyone would question, why do they have a tournament like that at a school, like with kids?
No.
That's kind of like Hunger Games. You know, just entertainment.
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, even though you don't have to die to the others don't have to die in order for you to win.
Well, sweetie, they've had this tournament for years. People have died. The reason they discontinued it was because of the accidents and the death. And it's not a, you know, it's a legendary thing. It's sort of some... crazy, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, it is wild. And
why do Padawan learners go? They're young kids and learn from Jedi masters and go out on missions where they can be killed.
True.
Why are 13-year-olds in Star Wars going out facing down Sith lords?
Because that's their job. It's going to be their job to do those things later on, right? If they want to be a Jedi. But wizards, they can live a boring life at the Ministry and don't ever if it's not.
Yeah,
you know,
don't put your name in the Goblet of Fire then. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, guys, let us know what you think. If you have a good explanation for this whole dilemma with the goblet, let us know. We would love to read it on the podcast and, you know, tell other people about it. But anyway, what's done is done. Harry has to compete. Everybody has to compete. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Karkaroff and Maxime still try to, you know, find a way out of it, and they think it's highly unfair, of course, because Hogwarts has doubled their chances to win.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, like, Maxime actually suggests Dumbledore must have made a mistake with the line, said Madame Maxime, shrugging. And Dumbledore says politely, it's possible, of course. Very politely. And McGonagall, I love her confidence in this moment in Dumbledore. She's like, Dumbledore, you know perfectly well you did not make a mistake, said Professor McGonagall angrily. Really, what nonsense.
Yeah.
Harry could have not crossed the line himself, and as Professor Dumbledore believes that he did not persuade an older student to do so, I'm sure that should be good enough for everybody else. And she shot a very angry look at Professor Snape because he was also doubting Harry. I love that, by the way, that she uses Harry's first name here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very Dumbledore-like, right? Dumbledore always addresses Harry by first name.
Yeah.
But McGonagall always says Potter.
Yeah.
Potter. Mm-hmm. I don't know how she says it.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good point. McGonagall's on top of it, and she definitely knows how.
She's like, snaps at Dumbledore. You know very well you did not make a mistake.
Which is one of the things that she has the most sense here, and
right. She's
sort of getting to the point. I mean, we know that Crudy actually knows what he did, and he's going to really sell himself as the real Moody
yeah.
by pointing out the very thing that he did do, that possibly this that is something
is so crazy to me.
Yeah. That now Harry is in jeopardy. Someone might be trying to kill Potter. And I think McGonagall was already headed down that route.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and she was like, this is clearly he did not.
Right.
It's a fact.
Right. She doesn't even question it. Yeah.
It's a fact. Harry did not put his name in the Goblet of Fire.
Exactly.
Dumbledore, one, a great legitimate, can see into Harry's mind and knows that he did not.
True.
Correct? And so he knows that. He also knows he didn't pass the age line. He didn't put it in himself. He didn't have anybody else do it. So those two, for a fact, know and believe Harry didn't do it.
Yeah.
So what's the other... someone is pranking him.
Right.
It could be Draco. Could be somebody, you know what I'm saying? Like that would be interesting, is that if Slytherin, you know, if Draco said, hey, here's Harry's name. Go toss it in.
Yeah.
Let's watch him get in trouble for this.
Again, I don't think how it works, but like, I don't think the goblet would accept that. I think more people would have tried that, like entering just some random other people's names. They think it's funny if they would be in the tournament.
But it does work that way.
I know that Dumbledore asks that, but I just don't believe it. I think the goblet could tell
that
you
it.
Didn't.
Moody does. Crudy does it.
Yeah, but Crudy also tricked the goblet in other ways. So I think he would be able to do it with his magic. I don't think another student could just walk up.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. He hoodwinks it, though, to create a fourth school.
Yeah.
Right? And then he himself enters someone else's name. So it at least does allow you, I think, to enter somebody else's name, which is a problem and a flaw.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm like, all I'm pointing out is that McGonagall would probably say, like, she and Dumbledore should be saying a couple different things here.
Yeah.
One of the Slytherin students did it, and it's just some big prank, and it's some practical joke, and Dumbledore's like, let's let it play out. I like what they do in the movie, which is basically like, Dumbledore is troubled by this, and he should be.
Yeah.
So the movie does a great job of showing us that. And then Snape is actually, instead of being furious and just dumb, like, oh, Potter, you stupid, blah, 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 it's actually much better in the film.
Right.
Because
more
in the film,
reserved,
he's sort of like, I am actually here to protect Harry. Let's figure out who this is, Dumbledore, and let's see this play out.
And that's Minerva's reaction, like, she thought Snape was going to support her, and she's like, turns around, like, what?
Yeah, because normally he's all over Harry Potter for
Potter is
this
a
kind
boy,
of stuff.
You're not a piece of meat.
Right.
Whatever she says.
I agree with Severus.
Yeah, I agree with Severus.
Crazy.
Anyway, I love that we did a poll the other day on Instagram. Like, which version of Dumbledore did you like better in this scene particularly? The movie or the book Dumbledore? And like 97%, most of you guys said book Dumbledore. You like the calm, a little more put together book version. But then one person said they really appreciate movie Dumbledore and his little rage fit.
Yeah.
And yeah, I do like the movie version too. Like, I like that in this moment, I appreciate that they're a little different. They'll play out a little differently. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool.
And yeah, like you mentioned, pretty crazy strategy on Crudy's side that he comes in and basically tells them exactly how he did it.
Yep.
All under the cover that Mad-Eye Moody, his job was to think like dark wizards do, so he would maybe be able to figure it out. And it's believable. But by saying that, I mean, for a short moment, Karkaroff was like, or was it Karkaroff? Yeah, I think somebody was like, yeah, you must have given that a great thought. Moody, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, that's my job. So basically, he gives himself the best alibi by actually telling the truth.
Right. Yeah. That's
crazy.
That's one of those weird things where you got to kind of watch.
Reverse psychology thing. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You're trying to get people to believe your facade or whatever by telling them some sort of truth there. Yeah.
Right.
He, I think it's interesting, though, that it's Crudy, Moody, whatever, who comes up with that and says, hey, this is probably what happened.
Right.
Dumbledore is also smart and goes, yep, that's right. That's probably, he probably already thought that too. And if you're Madame Maxime and you're Karkaroff, you're like, these are all Hogwarts people coming to this conclusion.
Right.
Right? They all. And I guess then it casts some doubt on Madame Maxime. Is she thinking Karkaroff did this? But why would he, you know, I don't know. It's just a weird, they're all kind of, I think, confused and don't know what to do. Nobody can really set this straight.
Yeah, and unfortunately causes, you know, what the Triwizard Tournament is supposed to do is unite the schools and, you know, how Hermione puts it, like, help them connect with other wizards and witches from other schools, from other countries.
International cooperation.
International, right, relationships and all that stuff. But it does the opposite here. And they clearly already state, so we learned from, I think Ludo says it, that the goblet can't, it's gone out. It won't ignite again until the start of the next tournament, which would be, what, in 1998?
Yeah.
Karkarov right away says, yeah, which Durmstrang will not compete in. So after everything that happens this year, do you think there's ever another Triwizard tournament?
Again? Yes.
You do?
Yes. Totally.
I don't think it's ever mentioned anywhere, but I do not think it's in 1998. If
maybe
100 years later.
Yeah, it's something that like 60 years later, they're going to do it. And they're going
to
be like,
all right. Maybe they're like, okay, we learned from the past. Maybe it's in a different setting. Maybe not as.
Yeah.
Dangerous in a different, just test strength, but not deadly and deadly tasks. And
right.
Voldemort's not here, so we hope everything goes well. But you think they're going to pick it up at some point.
I think they can also, in the future. They choose the tasks. You know what I mean? They can also choose tasks that are going to be less dangerous.
Yeah.
And put people's lives at less stake, kind of. There's still a chance or still a risk, whatever. But
What if they just do. Instead of the Triwizard Tournament, they could just do an international, still have that exchange and that coming together and do either a skills competition, just normal duels that they have a dueling club, or even sports like Quidditch, or have a gobstone competition.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Something that they do anyway, but just internationally on a bigger, grander scheme and still have students come
over. The Olympics.
Yeah.
Wizarding Olympics. Let's go. Teenagers.
Yeah. Anyway. Let's talk about Mr. Crouch for a second.
Okay.
Because Harry notices something is wrong with him, for sure. He looks ill. He looks so different compared to the man he saw at the Quidditch World. Well, even at the Quidditch World Cup, we know he was already... He was still himself, but he was already... Wait a second. This always throws me off.
Yeah. Mr. Crouch was not under the Imperius Curse.
Not yet, right? But right after. So
right after.
Barty Jr. was under the Imperius Curse. And that's why he gets free and they reverse the curse. Okay. So that's why Harry has that comparison of normal Mr. Crouch and now. And everyone else must notice it, right? Even the thing is, though, it's easy for him to explain. When Dumbledore asks him, hey, Barty, you want to stay for a drink? He's like, no, Dumbledore, there's so much to do at the ministry. That's where I'm needed most right now. Because there is actually a lot going on with everything that happened at the World Cup, with the Triwizard Tournament going on right now. And he needs to be there. It's a good explanation, and he's overworked and all that stuff.
But. Right. Yeah, he doesn't see. Unfortunately, he doesn't say, Dumbledore, I'm sorry, but the Dark Lord is waiting for me to return to my home.
Yeah.
So that I can inform him of how the tonight went.
Yeah. Yep.
Gosh. Because that's literally what goes down. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
As he goes back there and he has old Weatherby start to take over later eventually.
Yep.
But it's odd. He says that he, and I think you have a note here, that he comes out of a deep reverie.
Yeah.
Right? And it's sort of like, what is he? He's having this moment where he's coming out of a trance almost like, right? And you can fight it. It's right. We know you can fight this, and you can have moments where you come in, come out, and the curse can take back over again. And so, he looks bad.
I feel like that revelry has something to do with also Moody enters enters the room, and then he does his explanation, and then everyone turns to Crouch because they're like, okay, let's have Harry compete. Fine. Crouch, can you explain the rules again to the kids?
Yeah.
And then he snaps out of that
right.
weird state. So I don't know if it has something to do with Crouty being in the room, but so then he explains everything. They don't have to take the champions don't have to take exams. The first task, they don't tell them.
Mm-hmm.
And by the rules, no one is allowed to help the champions. And as we know, every single one breaks that rule.
Every single one. So, hey, look, we can't break the rule about the binding contracts, you guys, but we will tell you.
You can all kind of cheat.
Dragons, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to test how you're going to react, how you can react to unknown danger.
Mm-hmm.
But
Cedric was the only one who straight up wasn't going to know.
I know, but Harry told him, right?
What the heck?
Yep.
How crazy that it just shows you that Dumbledore is sort of like, I expect everyone to do what they're supposed to do. Cedric will be fine.
Yeah.
Right? And then one was going to help him out.
Honestly, I do feel like we miss, in this book, I would have loved to see more of Professor Sprout and her presence there.
Yeah.
For her house, for her champion.
Yep.
And trying to help him too. Like, maybe she is too nice and say, okay, they said I can't help you, Cedric, sorry. And even though she did hear something about, I mean, she's out there in the greenhouses, right? She's probably close to Hagrid, I would feel like. And she probably, I mean, come on.
She knows.
I don't know. I feel like she heard something.
She knows. Here's the thing. So Hagrid is bringing Madame Maxime. Okay.
Yeah.
Karkaroff's going to sneak around and find out. We know how right. he is. And Hagrid basically says to Ron, hey, tell Harry, right? Get him down
right,
here.
Right.
I want to show him. Hagrid flat out violates the rules. Flat out. He does two things. He shows the Beauxbatons champion and the
right.
No school champion.
Maybe then he feels, yeah.
But nobody went to Cedric, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There should be extra points for that.
Honestly.
It's ridiculous. I mean, Harry does, thankfully, and goes and says,
yeah.
This isn't fair.
Yeah.
So good on Harry, but.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually, talking about the two, once this is all kind of resolved, the Beauxbatons and Karkaroff, and like, they all storm off, right? The other schools, the other champions, they are mad, but they don't know what to do. This is what it is now. So they go away. The adults are like, okay, let's have a drink. And then Harry and Cedric get sent off, and Dumbledore's kind of like, okay, let's, you know, you guys, I'm sure your common rooms will be waiting for you, wanting to celebrate you as champions. And he seems like pretty chill about everything now. And the two walk out, and they have a little bit where they walk together towards the stairs, where then Cedric will go downstairs to the Hufflepuff common room, and Harry will go upstairs to the Gryffindor Tower. But this is what we talked about earlier. Cedric is so polite about... Yeah, he doesn't really believe Harry either yet, but he's also not mad at him. Like, he doesn't show this, hey, I'm the Hogwarts champion, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're just in here by accident. I'll show you.
Yeah, no, because he
doesn't have that arrogance. He's older. He knows what he can do, what he's capable of. And he knows, even like in the Quidditch match, right? We know that from last year. He knows he's a good Quidditch player. But he also knows, okay, in that moment, it wasn't really fair with the circumstances that Harry was under and
mm-hmm.
the weather
yeah.
and everything.
Tries to tell his dad that. Yeah.
Yeah. And he knows, I think deep down, he doesn't know, like Hermione a little bit, doesn't really know what to think. I think part of him wants to believe Harry, actually.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's mysterious. It doesn't make sense. And it's totally something odd. And odd things seem to happen around Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's smart enough to know that. But,
yeah.
yeah.
I think he likes Harry. But the little bit that doesn't believe Harry is that bit that is probably a little bitter about, you know, Harry's really stealing his thunder here a
mm-hmm.
little bit. So, yeah. Anyway, so Harry then goes up to the Gryffindor Tower, and he's almost there. But then on the way, his mind starts racing. Why did this even happen? Like, I really didn't do it. What happened here?
Mm-hmm.
And he almost puts two and two together and figures out that Voldemort is basically back, right? He
mm-hmm.
thinks about his dreams. He thinks about, I mean, last year, one of his followers escaped.
Yep.
They know that Peter Pettigrew is out there.
Trelawney prophecy.
Yep. I mean, honestly, he probably should have figured it out, and he should have told Dumbledore about this. Like,
yep.
This is so crazy. All the coincidences, air quote,
mm-hmm.
that are happening, I think, definitely Dumbledore needs to know about this, but he doesn't have that relationship with Dumbledore yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's one of those things where we talk a lot about in schools, which is like, if you hear something, say something. If you think something's wrong, say something. A lot of times kids don't want to bother adults, and they don't want to bring attention to themselves or make a mistake or
mm-hmm.
Have the adults think less of them because, like, I'm worrying about something that really doesn't need worried about, or
mm-hmm.
I should just let it go, or I should toughen up and move on, or whatever. And there's a lot of those thoughts that go on, and a lot of the times, okay, it turns out nothing, and it turns out this
right.
is something you have to work through and develop, and whatever, it's all good. It still doesn't hurt you to say anything to an adult.
Right.
You can always say something,
yeah.
and we're all here for you and stuff, but that's part of growing up, and it's a part
mm-hmm.
of them trying to decide, yeah, what do I do? What should I say? What should I not say? I don't want to make a fool out of myself. Yeah. I don't look dumb. I want Dumbledore to think I'm awesome. And yeah, like, am I just freaking out about this? Yeah. And yeah, it's too bad because Voldemort's back.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
I mean, kind of, almost. He's a baby right now.
Yeah.
Baby Mort.
Gross. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, but Harry is, again, he's so close to almost like the solution of all this. But then he enters the common room. He's tired. And all of a sudden, everyone but Hermione and Ron are there to celebrate him. They have a party for him in the common room, which he didn't expect at all. And everyone really thinks he was smart enough to trick the Goblet of Fire. Yeah. No one ever even considers this was an accident. Someone else did it. Yeah. They all think Harry did it. But do you think... So we know that, of course, Lee Jordan and Angelina and all the Quidditch players are there, probably. And they all celebrate Harry and think, like, wow, good job, Harry. That's awesome. At least one Gryffindor got in. And we know, you know, his best friends are not there. But do you think Ginny is there? And do you think Ginny is there?
Yep, I do.
Do you think she also thinks Harry did it?
No. Because this is his soulmate.
Aww.
All right. And I'm going to tell you right now that in the TV show, I actually really hope they do Ginny a lot better.
Yeah.
And they have moments where the camera just sees her in the corner, secretly supporting him or giving him like a pat on the back, something just over time
little
where
things,
by the time you get to the end of the series or the TV show, you're like, wow, Ginny's been there like in this sort of way that nobody really expected or saw. And she's always been seeing Harry for who he is. And he then at the end is sort of like, wow, you know, she's always in her own quiet way, been there. And then she'll get, you know, her voice gets rather loud later on. But
yeah, she's only quiet around Harry because she's, you know, shy.
Yeah.
And
yeah, she's got feelings for him. And I just think, yeah, she's for sure there, and she is very smart.
Yeah.
Ginny is, one, extremely powerful and very smart. I have always thought Ginny was one of the best.
Yeah.
I love her, and I think she is a great character, and I always was in full support of the Ginny-Harry relationship.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think she does secretly believe Harry. I think she wouldn't say
it out
loud.
She may not know right now, though. She may not, like, if he's... Because no one can really hear him when he comes in there.
Right.
They're all like he's not getting a chance to say, guys, he doesn't get the room.
Yeah.
He doesn't get everybody to settle down to where he can like talk about what's going on. And then so he then just rushes upstairs and he's done. Mm-hmm. So, but if she would be someone who would over time hear his story and say, yeah, okay, I believe him.
Yeah.
Something's up.
Yeah.
And she's got his back.
Yeah, so. For sure. Before we move on to the Ron scene. tell me what's going on in the Hufflepuff common room.
Yeah, so it's all quiet, right? As Diggory approaches, it's sort of like, They all went to bed. What's going on? And it seems he opens, like, dark, what's going on? And then Lumos, baby.
Oh, surprise party.
Holy. And it's just like, not only is it the Hufflepuffs in there, but like the house elves are all in there raging too,
because
they're friends with them and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So they're just going nuts. And the reason we didn't see Sprout was because she was down there in the common room and everything is just blooming, going crazy.
Aww, that's
and you've
cool.
got Sprout in the middle and she's actually doing a little break dance.
I think
she's break dancing and she's spinning and stuff. And she's Cedric. She's like got this like little cheerleader kind of like Hufflepuff cheerleader costume thing on where she's like pom poms and she's got her little witch hat and she's going crazy. I'm telling you. Yeah. She's just leading the, you know.
I thought you were going to say she hugged Cedric.
Oh, sure she did. Sure she did.
She breakdanced.
She pulled him in. She said, you know, I always knew you were the best of
us. Yeah.
No. Yeah, I just think she's in there. And they're all celebrating, going crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they probably have lots of snacks and drinks.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure they did. Sure that they did. Just crazy.
Yeah.
Now, the problem becomes later on. So all of the girls who are in Hufflepuff who are like, you know, maybe had a thing for Cedric and stuff. But now all of a sudden, he's exotic. And you've got this Cho Chang relationship coming up later.
Oh, I know. No, other houses have their eye on him.
Oh, my gosh. So that's going to be a little bit crazy.
Oh, and the Hufflepuff fangirls of Cedric, they're going to be like, well, we have been there before he got famous.
Yeah, we were here like year one. Where you been, Cho?
Yeah.
Jenny's saying the same thing. You know,
right,
about,
true. I mean, she has truly been there.
Yeah.
Year one.
Anyway, yeah, so great celebration down there with the Hufflepuffs.
Love it.
Yeah.
Thanks for the insight, yep. Mr.
You're welcome.
Mr. Quidditch Captain.
You are so welcome.
And now, last thing is the biggest shocker. Ron is jealous and mad at Harry that he didn't include him in tricking the goblet and putting his name in.
Yeah.
So it's not the problem that Harry did it. It's the problem that he did not include Ron.
Yeah. You could have at least told your best mate. Right?
Yeah.
You could have at least told me, but no, you didn't. And because there is something in that, because they both would have done it. And there's
course,
a fair
yeah.
chance, okay, hey, fine, the goblet picks you, no right. no worries. But we at least did it together. It's something.
Yes, it's that thing, doing it
right.
together as friends.
Yeah, the fact that you went kind of behind my back and didn't want to do this together and you wanted glory for yourself and didn't give me an equal chance to get it is the problem.
Yeah, and that's what I think hurts Harry so much, that Ron thinks that Harry would be capable of that yeah. he would do that to him. Like, A, he would try to put his name in, and then B, he would do it without Ron. That he actually believes that, I think, makes Harry so mad that he can't even argue with him. Like, he's just lost for words, and he thinks, like, wow, that's very idiotic to say. Like, I would never do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
that doesn't make it better in that moment. But
no, it doesn't. And then by the time we get to the first task, and all of them realize, like, okay, this is... Now we kind of understand. Right
Intense.
Now they've never seen the task. They don't
yeah.
understand. In their mind, it's all this big fantasy. It's all safe and it's all just glory and fun and
it's
cheering
all about winning,
and stuff. It has yeah. They don't see any
actually,
dire side
right.
to it whatsoever, or long lasting scars or injuries that could you know permanently mm-hmm. hurt you for the rest of your life. And they don't see any of those things. And then they
right.
see the dragons. They're like, oh my god, this is actually this is scary. And now we get why Harry's saying what he's saying. There could be somebody really pranking him hardcore, or possibly trying to get him killed.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. Even though Harry didn't have that experience either. Like, it doesn't really truly explain, okay, like, if the tasks are like that, sure, Harry didn't put his name in. But Harry didn't know either what the tasks were going to be like. So, does that make sense?
No, Harry knows he didn't put his name in.
No, I know, but... Ron seeing the task and seeing how dangerous it is and then saying, yeah, you would have been like, you didn't put your name in because, wow, these tasks are so dangerous, doesn't explain it to me, because Harry also didn't know how dangerous the tasks were going to be. But yeah, maybe.
Oh,
Ron,
I know what you're saying. You're saying that, like, well, like,
they
he
both
still did it. He just didn't realize. You're
yeah,
saying that Ron
yeah.
is saying of Harry, well, Harry didn't know how dangerous it is. And now, you know, he was just as dumb as me and would have done it or whatever. I get you. Yeah. No, but still, I think it does open up the whole idea. It's explainable, if you will, because
yeah.
if one, Harry, truly, this is your friend who says he didn't do it. It's
yeah.
very unusual. It's
yeah.
not like he is the it's not like he is the Hogwarts champion.
Right.
He's the fourth champion.
Yeah.
So that's strange and odd. And it's the fact that, oh, now these are super dangerous. It all starts to kind of come
right,
together.
Click. And Harry yeah. also insists still after the first half, after, you know, weeks and months in, sometimes, you know, you're like, okay, I did it, I guess. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I was lying in the end. And after a while, you just tell the truth. But no, he sticks to, I didn't do it. I didn't want to be in this tournament. So I think, yeah, that's what actually convinces Ron in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so yeah, this is crazy stuff going on in this chapter. Not a lot of action itself, but a lot of kind of like also a little bit political between the schools and the ministry and what to do and who has the final say. It's Crouch.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Not even Dumbledore, because he's just one of the headmasters of the schools. It's Crouch
yep.
who
yep.
has the final say and all of that. So
yeah,
that's crazy.
Wild.
Oh, last question, actually. Do you think if Barty Crouch Sr. had not been under the Imperius Curse, would he still have said, yeah, Harry, you must compete?
If it is true that the binding would result in his death, then yes.
True.
If it's not true, then he might have said, like, this is the Triwizard Tournament. We're not putting a fourth
no,
champion
yeah.
in here. That's stupid.
Yeah, or,
yeah.
you know, like they always say, we got to, but the rules are the rules. But then also the rule was no champions under the age of 17.
Right, yeah. Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah, him being under the Imperius Curse does help sort of the idea that that's why he didn't have more reasoning abilities.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Good point. All right. Then at the very last, we have some owl posts for you guys. This was very interesting from Rika. She sent us an Instagram voicemail. So I think she spent some time in Mexico. And there is this tradition we always hear in America and also in Great Britain. We celebrate Halloween on October 31st. And of course, we have this connection, Halloween. This is where Harry's parents were killed by Voldemort. And in the Mexican tradition, though, they have what's called the Day of the Dead, which is celebrated both on November 1st and 2nd. And it is like a big family reunion, but you celebrate, you know, the dead ancestors. And it's actually a joyful time that helps people remember the deceased and celebrate their memory. And Rika said, well, this is kind of interesting because that's the day, you know, the day after, basically, when Harry is left at the doorstep at the Dursleys. And there is, I mean, Dumbledore basically in one night, he probably created that blood bond charm with Petunia.
Yep. I think it is cool. And I think it's an interesting way to look at the idea that is it that being the Day of the Dead and that being a day where the souls who have gone beyond the veil are coming back to us and we can still sort of communicate with them. Like the veil is thin.
Right.
And during that time, it would be a time where Dumbledore could sort of make extra magic or could use that ancient magic or tap into it in a way. I still think he could have done it on a different day.
Okay.
Had it been September, had it been, you know, August or whatever, I think he could have still, her sacrifice would have been meaningful enough. There would have been a residue with it that he uses and transfers to Petunia in her house, and he uses ancient magic.
Yeah. But oh, my goodness, yeah.
I think it's easier for him to do that on a day where, like a day where possibly that the veil is thinning. Maybe there are other days where that happens, and this is just something that they, you know, it's a tradition, it's a celebration that takes place in Mexico and maybe around other cultures too. I think it's cool. I think it's a cool connection. And
yeah, and there is, isn't it in Wheel of Time, there are certain events and certain characters that are so important to basically, you know, the plot of everything, the weaving of the...
Yeah, the weaving of the wheel.
Wheel, right? Yeah. So that...
Pattern, yeah.
It makes... Like, that's why this event is marked by such an important day. Like, it's not taking place on, like, you know, June 24th. Mm-hmm. But it's taking place on Halloween and the day after that are two very significant cultural holidays.
Yeah.
And have that deep connection to, you know, between the realm of the living and the dead.
Yes. So. Yeah, for sure. Like, in Wheel of Time, for example, there are characters and moments where... They're unchangeable. Things happen, the pattern, destiny, fate, whatever you want to call it, happens at this moment. It's sort of like, I mean, Harry Potter has prophecy involved in it. Whether you believe in it or not is one thing, and how much, you know, I go back to Qui-Gon Jinn, I'm weaving all these different fandoms together. Where your focus determines your reality, and the more you're focused on that prophecy, the more it will fulfill itself.
Right.
And but in Wheel of Time, you have this idea that you have different... moments that are kind of unchangeable. You can change them a little bit here and there, but there are these pillars that this is going to happen here. Yeah. And so this is one of those moments where it's Halloween and it's kind of also the Day of the Dead afterwards. And it's this pivotal moment that although you could change a few things about it, there's not much that you could.
We can't. And that's actually part of the cursed child, right? Is going back in time, changing things. This is one of the things that you can't. It can't be changed.
Right.
So, yeah, very interesting. Very interesting thought. Thank you so much, Rika, for your input here.
Yeah.
We always love getting messages from you guys. So if you have any messages, let us know. Write us an owl to florinbill@gmail.com or message on Instagram @florinbill.
Thend of the Owls. So, hey, guys, thanks so much. And the next couple weeks, I think you're going to have some interesting episodes, just some theories on Dumbledore, some theories on different things. I don't know. They'll be a little bit different, but they're going to be more casual episodes that we basically just kind of pre-recorded for when Lottie is in Germany.
Yeah, we might record something. We don't want to promise it. I don't know how hectic things are going to be when I'm over there because I have some stuff to do, some things to take care of in good old Germany.
Yeah, you have a lot of things to do
there. So we'll see.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, friends, thanks. That's all for this week. Thank you for tuning in to Shell Cottage Radio 94.7 COZY. We hope that you will join us in the future. We thoroughly enjoy meeting new positive Potter people that don't behave like babbling, bumbling bands of baboons.
Baboons.
If you don't want to miss out on the next episode, then be sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review and follow over on social media at Fleur and Bill.
If you truly enjoy our content, consider supporting our growing wizarding family on Patreon or Apple Premium. You will find all the links down below. Thank you so much to all current patrons. We appreciate you, Chuluna, and back. On our next reread episode, we will discuss Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, Chapter 18, The Weighing of the Wands. So make sure you tune back in next time, and until then, have a great rest of your week. Thanks for joining us in our Shell Cottage today. We know it's not much, but it's home.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to Shell Cottage Radio. What if that was the intro?
What just happened?
Oh, sorry.
That was a glitch of the Matrix. Sorry, guys. I'm sorry. Somebody put ice cream in my oatmeal this morning. I don't know how that happened.
I don't know how. I didn't do it.
I mean,
did you do it and you're lying?
I'm sure you've never tried this before. Get this. Oatmeal, cut up an apple, fresh apple. So put some apple slices in there. Applesauce and vanilla ice cream. Thank me later.
Wow. That's a lot of apple.
That's a lot of apple.
Tastes like apple pie. I promise.
I bet it does.
Knox.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.